Look, this is a community event. Let's all have fun with it. We're all joking around.
These are all jokes.
These are all jokes.
Everybody relax.
Because at the last one, some teams got a little bit upset.
No, one team got a little upset. Is LA Galaxy here? Are they here? Somebody hold them back. They don't understand what jokes are. We said one joke and the guy's like, oh yeah, well, f*** you. And I'm like, I don't think you know how a roast works. You know what? Hold on. LA. LA Galaxy. Are they LA Galaxy here? Let me hear. Round of applause. Are you guys here?
LA? No LA folks? They were here. Well,
oh,
we
dude,
back.
In the back. Obviously, I know Los Angeles has been going through a lot with the fires, and you're an LA Galaxy fan. Do you know anyone who actually lives in LA? Were they okay? Are they all right? Are they good?
Because Carson was safe. Carson was safe.
Yeah, it's pretty far away.
I just wanted to make sure.
Actually, Carson is so far away, the last natural disaster was the Red Bulls defending in the final. Everybody relax.
Everybody okay.
It's just
We're
jokes.
We're just having a good time.
It's just jokes.
It's all jokes.
It's just jokes. It's just jokes. Thank you. We got a thumbs up from the LA Galaxy.
Okay, go.
It's good.
The Rebel fans weren't as enthusiastic.
No, they're not cool with it.
Hey, how about that?
Look at that.
A little clip from our roast at the Independent Supporters Council.
That's right. That was in Minnesota just a couple weeks ago.
Remember, it's all jokes, folks.
It is all jokes.
And everybody got it.
And if you want more of that,
hey.
That'll be available to you on our Patreon.
If that got your appetite wet for more roast jokes, you wonder, well, how did it go from there?
More just like those LA Galaxy jokes.
And let me tell you, they get roastier, you know?
We had a really good time. Shout out to everybody in Minnesota. But if you want to watch the full show, go to patreon.com/soccercooligans. The $5 level, you can hear all the jokes.
You'll
that
get
we
the
did.
Roast jokes the roast at jokes. The $5 level. We're not leaving you out, bro. You get all
and
the
then
jokes.
At the $10 level, we did some crowd work with everybody.
You get a little dessert with your main entree.
So if you needed a reason to join the Cooligans Patreon, that is very much one of them. So feel free
so
to
remember,
do that.
$5, you're going to get the jokes. Don't worry about it. You saw the show. If you $10, you get all the accoutrement. You get all the extra. You know?
Okay, you want to, you know, sometimes say like, yo, I'm full, but should I have dessert? And that we're basically saying, have the dessert.
Yo, you know what?
You deserve it.
Or you ever go to a Korean barbecue joint and they're like, bro, the soft serve is complimentary.
That's right. At my Korean barbecue joints, they start off with, bruh.
Yeah.
They say, bruh. Do you want some more kimchi with that?
And they're like, yo, there's something really authentic about this place. We should do more Korean barbecue at this Dominican place in the Bronx.
So head on over to the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans.
I said bruh and accoutrement in the same sentence, by the way. I need respect for that.
Just a heads up, it's dropping tomorrow, Tuesday, February 25th at noon. Tuesday, February 25th at noon.
Eastern.
Eastern time.
Unless we late and then it becomes Central or Western.
So go, it'll be there Tuesday afternoon. So thank you, everybody.
So if you've been wanting to join the Patreon, you're thinking, I just need a reason to do it. Money. How about that? We gave you a little taste. A little moose boosh.
All right.
How many more food references can I get into this?
So... big show today.
Yeah.
A lot to go over.
Well, we're timing the launch of this roast, of the release of it, along with the start of the MLS season.
Exactly. So we're going to talk. We'll get started with MLS. We're going to be joined by Greg Vanney,
head coach
of the Los Angeles Galaxy, who just happened to lose their opening game.
I know. How did we both interview a man and they lose their game at the same time?
No, we spoke to him at MLS.
We can't be blamed for it because we're posting this after they lost. So
we spoke to him
at
MLS Media Day a few weeks prior. And and he's also part of the Ontide documentary.
Which is the main reason we
spoke to him. So we got his perspective talking to him.
A little
about
bit of a victory lap. The interview would have been different had we done it after the loss, but whatever.
So, but welcome back to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we are the Cooligans. Excited to be here as always with Yahoo.
Yahoo!
There it is. Our producer Carter is on vacation today, but subbing in.
Yeah,
another Tottenham supporter, Andrew Hart, coming through. You can say hi, Andrew.
Why are we surrounded by them?
You know, listen, we're trying to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He came in. He's like, why can't we play Ipswich every week?
Yeah.
We need more of those. And we will wrap up the show later talking Premier League and everything going on there. Let's get to it. Major League Soccer.
Yeah. It's back, baby.
It is back, baby.
Can I start by saying I like Messi's new haircut?
Interesting.
Yeah.
My wife was watching the game with me in Miami against NYCFC. And the first thing she said, she's like, that haircut doesn't work on him.
I think it's the first haircut that actually does work on him. He got a weird shaped head. I'm by the way, so do I.
Okay.
But above the ears is wider than the top of his head. So when he gets a fade, it looks a little strange.
I disagree.
This kind of covers that.
This makes him look like a paper boy. You know what I mean? It's like a little too adorable.
Paper boy. He kind of gives
got
me
a,
the,
he got a middle part.
Not a middle part. It's like an off. It's like a 1 o'clock part. It's not a noon part. You know what I mean? And it kind of lays nice. You know, he's giving me. He's giving me.
This was the game.
This is a little too long. It looks in this one.
The one we're looking at the one from the CONCACAF Champions Cup game, and this was much more noticeable. His hair was basically frozen.
Yeah,
because it was so cold. But I don't hate it.
I'm a fan.
I hate it. My wife can't stand it. She was furious at this haircut. Yeah. No.
I like it. I think fades don't look good on him. You know, he ain't got the right shaped head for it.
It's interesting because I think...
Not his fault.
I think...
You know, it's the HGH they fed him as a child.
For men... For men, fades are like the easy glow up. You know what I mean? I don't think...
It's simple,
it's
especially...
It's difficult... Any man with, if you add a fade to a man without a fade, I think that's an instant improvement. It's like a cheat code.
I don't disagree, but I think you got to have the right shape. Like I can't get a straight across. It has to have a little taper in the back because my head is shaped so odd. You know what I mean?
All right, I guess.
I'm trying to put you on game, bro.
You're the expert.
I'm trying to put you on game. Trust me when I tell you.
Weird shaped head. You know, United over here.
Yo, bro.
My man.
Oh, Big Noggin FC? Oh, yeah.
So, a lot of incredible matches. Obviously, we had San Diego start their campaign in Major League Soccer.
Looking pretty good.
But
not great.
Let's start with a couple games. And just a heads up. For this 2025 MLS season, for anybody listening, watching, just be mindful of the fact that there's too many MLS teams. There's no humanly way possible, unless this show is every week 3 hours.
Right. Some of you are going to be like, you didn't talk about San Jose versus Vancouver. And no, we didn't.
We can't do all of it. This is the comedy show. So this is what I want you to do. If there is something hilarious that happened in a match that we did not get a chance to watch, this is where you say, hey, I'm going to be a part of the community. I'm going to let the hooligans know, hey, they should talk about this because this so-and-so happened in the
it
game.
Is it's free to tag us and stuff.
they don't charge you anymore, not for long though.
Yeah That's true.
So the internet's getting very crazy,
right?
But feel free to let us know.
Tag us, DM us,
exactly.
So, let us know and we will talk about it if it hits the funny bone.
So let's obviously start with Inter Miami against New York City FC. A game ended 2-2, a game that went into took 111 minutes or something. Bro, to get a result.
It was a long one and I turned it off. I was on my way to do a show. So mm-hmm. I was watching on my phone and I was like, all right, I'm just going to walk in the venue. So I'm going to shut this off. There's only a few minutes left.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Miami's going to equalize. And that's exactly what happened. But it was an odd match to begin with. Fafa Pico goes down.
Yeah.
What looks like a hamstring injury, which is a real shame.
Yeah. You know, friend of the show. Fafa was just on the show a few weeks ago. We were hanging out with him in Miami for the MLS Media Day. So a real bummer to see that 7 minutes into the game, he pulls up with a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
So just sucks to see. So we're just obviously Fafa. We're hoping just for a quick recovery.
Quick recovery.
He was on the sideline watching the game right after.
Yeah.
So it seems like it was like precautionary of like he felt something. He's like, let me not push through. Right.
Take it easy. Nice and easy, because he's going to be a big piece for the team.
And against our team. Thank you.
We did ask him to take it easy against New York City.
We don't wish ill will on anybody. No, but
Flavo was like, I'm not sure. His hamstring was like, bro, I got you guys.
Hamstring is definitely a Cooligans fan.
Yeah, hamstring's like, bro, let me see them roast jokes, bro. Yeah, and then it gets even weirder. Aviles, their center back, scores.
Yes.
And then he gets a red card. Mm. He draws a red card by pulling down a player in the box.
Alonso Martinez.
Alonso Martinez. Yeah. So, you know, going down to 10 men at home, you think Miami, you know, look, New York City FC have a new coach and Pascal Jensen, mm-hmm. Or Janssen, who yeah. I had the chance of interviewing him. Yeah.
You hosted the
founding members forum, whatever they call it. I shouldn't know. I was the host. I said it on mic like 3 or 4 times. But it's really cool. It's all for like the season ticket holders. I think they apply to be a part of it. And then we're season ticket holders. We could do this as well.
I got the email. Yeah, I
didn't read it. But I did host it. I did get a chance to interview. And he seems like someone who's like, I want to play attractive, exciting football. Mm-hmm. He also made it a point to talk about set pieces were important for him. He said that he was aware that the team didn't really score much on set pieces last year. Great question from someone in the crowd. I actually said, I was like, well, I kind of remember, you know, James Sands scoring on a big one mm-hmm. against Miami. And he clapped back. He goes, there's a reason you remember that one. I was like, all right, good point. It's a good point. Yeah. I was like, all right, my guy. I like that. So this was it was fun for me to see that set pieces have become an important part of it. It does seem like they want to push forward and play attractive football if you're a New York City FC fan.
Yeah.
But Miami is one of those teams where they got some big names on there, man. You can't really give them a chance until that final whistle.
Yeah, I mean, well, just a couple things to note about the lineups. I was actually really happy for Fafa Pico starting over Robert Taylor. I think it just says a lot about the trust that he's earned with Javier Mascherano.
Just the dynamic he brings to the team, right? He's able to break those back line.
Yeah, Robert Taylor was awesome last year and scored important goals mm-hmm. and had great chemistry with the rest of the team and Messi in particular. But the NYCFC lineup I thought was interesting. I love Agustin Ojeda. Mm-hmm. I think there is a clear, you know, especially with now we know Santi Rodriguez is officially gone. His transfer is announced an hour before kickoff of this game.
A lot of thank you, Santi posts right before the game.
We're dealing with a lot right now.
Yeah.
Why announce it right now?
I mean,
right.
Granted, a week ago he gave an interview from the airport in Brazil. So I think we had an inkling that this was done.
Yeah. Ojeda, I thought a lot more importance in the game and clearly a bigger responsibility. And mm-hmm. you saw that. And he was playing out on the left. I thought he was also very, very pacey handled himself really, really well. Obviously, not having Thiago Martins, who else is the other? There was somebody else that I'm just blanking on. But this, not having Santi, not having, there's like a lot of adjustment happening.
In particular, look who started up top. Keaton Parks and Justin Haack.
What we're looking at is not exactly how they lined up.
It was a very fluid formation, which I love.
In the second half, they went three at the back as well because they were up a man and it didn't really look like it after the red card. So, but Alonso Martinez,
they have Busquets. That's two players.
Yeah, pretty much, right? frustrating. I'm like, this man moves at 1.5 mile an hour and you can't get the ball from him. He always makes the right decision.
I don't know the reference. You probably will, but it feels like every cartoon at some point had this, like the old guy who knows karate and you're punching a million miles a minute. He's holding onto a cane and he's blocking them all without moving much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Busquets, bro. He plays the game. Like it's like he rewound the game and he was like, I already know what you're going to do. So I'm going to do so. It's so frustrating. It's so funny. Somebody recently posted a video. They're like, what did Cruz do wrong? It was a match of Real Madrid versus Barcelona back in the day. It's like, what did Cruz do wrong? And everyone's like, he tried to press Busquets. Like all he did was take 2 steps forward and all of a sudden Barca springs. And it's like, Busquets is like, are you that dumb, dude? Like the ball's stuck to my foot, bro. Yeah,
it is. It says a lot about what the kind of player he is. And it really just shows like we don't have players like this in Major League Soccer. Like, it's just like, wow. It's, again, not going to wow you in any real way. But if you are a person who knows, who understands the game, you understand how pivotal and important he is. So, and that's why I think not having Santi Rodriguez, he's not NYCFC's Busquets per se.
No.
But he holds on to the ball. And he gives a little bit of relief to the other players of like, all right, you don't have to move the ball. I'll move the ball.
Yeah.
Now somebody else has to step up. And I thought Ojeda did that to some degree. Maxi does what Maxi does.
Right.
I think so after the red card and props to Alonso Martinez for drawing it. Aviles is another. He scores and then gets a red card.
I mean, the guy made a bunch of rash decisions last year.
Yes.
Yeah, so and he is like back to it.
I saw on MLS wrap up that he had gotten 15 yellow cards last season.
That's crazy.
Which for a center back,
a lot. Young guy, too.
It's a young guy. I mean, he's like 19 or 20 years old. He's pretty young. But with the way Inter Miami's roster is built, this is what is going to happen. The older guys that know how to move the ball forward are up top. And they're like, all right, who's left?
Mm-hmm.
Put a toddler back there because he'll go under the salary cap.
There's going to be a street cone with a pink jersey on it for sure at some point.
Did you see somebody posted on Twitter that the new Inter Miami jersey?
The Victoria's Secret
looked like
bag?
A Victoria's Secret bag.
I can't even see it.
Which is so funny. But Aviles, Alonso Martinez gets away from Aviles in a
great turn,
in between two players. And then Aviles is just like, bro.
Just hugs him from behind.
He kind of tugs at him a little bit. But it's just like, bro, wait one more second to make that challenge because that's a penalty instead of a red.
Yeah.
And he made it right outside the box and boom, and he gets sent off. Everybody's upset. I think, the Inter Miami players, and this is, credit to the referee because, again, Inter Miami can influence a game heavily. And this is no...
It doesn't matter who you are. If Messi comes up to you and says, yo, you messed up on that one, it doesn't matter. Even if you're working at Chipotle, you'd be like, I made that burrito wrong. Messi just said...
I'm employee of the month is right there.
Maybe he's the sandwich artist at the Subway, and I'm not. That's Messi.
It'll have you questioning your own career and your expertise. And so
if he came up to you after a set was like that second joke a bit derivative, you'd be like, I'm scrapping it. I'm never saying it again.
It's a bold red card. And I think it's not too controversial, but you understand that the Inter Miami players are upset. But you know then the effect later on. Because Strahinja Tanasiev is center back, gets a yellow card.
Speaking of rash, man, this dude.
Unnecessary. The yellow card was deserved. It was,
No, but he made a bunch of other, like he slid into some stuff. And I'm like, bro, you're already on the yellow, my guy.
Right. But the one, the foul against Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
Where he had just gotten the yellow a second ago and he
slides in, he makes contact with the ball.
I don't even think he got, I mean, it was a, the center, the striker trying to hold up play or make a quick pass or whatever. And center back kind of runs right through him. This is a common foul. We see it all the time, several times a game. Mm-hmm. You don't. So this is the argument. The ref, and I don't know if you caught this, and Busquets definitely caught it. The ref saw the foul and he goes to his pocket. To about to hand the yellow, then he sees who it is that made the foul,
right.
And he was like, "Oh no,
I'm not gonna do it
because I just gave him a yellow a couple seconds ago."
Which refs do this?
Yes,
they take into account this guy's already on the yellow. I'm gonna warn him one more time,
right? But he just looked back because if Inter Miami were not red carded, in the game, they probably won't be yelling about this as much.
And Messi's like, "It's in my contract that we get these calls."
I spoke to Tim Apple directly. Yeah. He said you were gonna give me this one. So I could see why the Inter Miami players were upset, but it would have been a pretty harsh second yellow off of a foul that is so common in this game.
It's so, one of those where if it gets called a yellow, your first yellow, you understand it. That for a second yellow is kind of tough.
Yeah, yeah.
So, tough to swallow.
And again, maybe if it was like a persistent infringement, it happened several times and he let it go, then I would get it. But
also Messi was wild upset about it after the match too. He got a yellow card after the match.
Yeah. Because
you know he said he went up there, give me that. Whoa, whoa, bro. That Messi came out. He was saying some wild stuff to the ref.
Yeah, he was, I mean, if you caught the video, I'll see if I can find it, but he's yelling at the referee.
Yeah.
We all saw it on Apple TV, but he's yelling at the referee. And then, and this is the part that wasn't on the broadcast, is that he had gone up to Mehdi Bellucci, assistant coach.
So I text Mehdi. I'm like, did you think 2025 was going to be the year you get choked out by Messi, bro?
He didn't choke.
No, he grabbed the back of his neck, but then he squeezed. Where Mehdi was like, hey, get your hands off me.
Pain. And Mehdi was like, all right, bro, what?
Yeah.
Like, I understand you are who you are.
Right.
But, like, are we doing this?
Right.
So I thought that was a little bit absurd. Not absurd. I mean, Messi was arguing with the referee. And then what argument is he going to make with, like, the technical staff of NYCFC? Like, there's not really much of an argument.
I mean, I also think it was inspired by Mehdi being, like, move along kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't winning this one,
bro. I'm also kind of loving that we're getting a little bit of a rivalry between these two teams.
Yeah. They both have equalized each other in the last seconds. This is a fun back and forth between these two.
Has Inter Miami, Messi's Inter Miami has not beaten...
Go to head-to-head.
NYCFC, to my knowledge, right?
No. Look, 2023 was...
When did you get here? Yeah.
The last time Inter Miami won was 2022. So, no.
Yeah, look at that. So, you know, Messi's a little bit like, hey.
I can't beat these guys, bro.
I can't beat them.
I almost joined these mans, bro.
Next, the next match is going to be September 24th. But a couple other, and the one we have to discuss is really the, Messi does what Messi does at the end of the game. He gets on a breakaway. Passes the ball to
beautifully way to pass
Segovia, chips it over.
Great restaurant in Jersey. If you've never been, by the way, Segovia's.
Okay, he owns it.
I don't think they do. They may, but actually, it's an incredible restaurant.
But the one point I wanted to bring up in this game is the VAR check. So if you didn't watch the game, this game had 11 minutes of stoppage time, which is like. Is Alex Ferguson here? Why is it there 11 minutes to stop
it? It's Messi time, bro.
It's Messi time now.
Yeah.
And
which is what I call love make.
Okay. All right.
Get the tarp. You know?
It isn't. Yeah, it's not. It's not gonna be. You know, just a casual night out.
You already know what it is, baby girl.
So.
Most of the 11 minutes is us just chatting.
After Jordi Alba assisted Alonso Martinez later in the game, he sent in a cross that Mitja Ilinic, a friend of the show,
goal scorer as well.
Goal scorer.
We got to talk about it.
We'll talk about that in a second. But I just want to get the controversy. So there was a cross into the box in the second half. This is around the near 80th minute or something like that. It was like 83rd, 84th minute. And we're looking at it right now. Alba sends a cross in. It hits Ilinic's leg, bounces off his leg, and then hits his elbow or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're calling for a handball.
Are we showing a skeet draft?
Yeah, because I wanted to play it in the browser. And I didn't want to get a whole other window.
I was about to say, what the hell's going on here?
So it hits off his leg and then bounces off his arm. We all know that this is a deflection.
Yeah,
this is
not
a handball.
Yeah, move on, move along.
We all know the rules. We have the IFAB rules in front of it's not it's not a thing.
I got the IFAB app open right now.
So IFAB? Anyway.
Speaking of, get the tarp.
Messy. What do you mean? Anyway. So it leg and then it bounces off his arm. This VAR check. Took easily 4 to 6 minutes or something along those lines.
Right.
Where I'm watching this live and I'm like, this is not a handball. There's no way the dude in the VAR booth is looking at this and being like, let's really check, let's analyze. When it's like, we're looking at it on TV. We see it hits his leg, and then it hits his arm.
So what do you think? You think it was that they were looking like, is anyone even staring at Messi? Because then that's a penalty. You know what I mean? Don't look at him like that,
I'm not going to do all that and just attack the refs. I'm just saying that this is just a poor use of VAR. This is, I don't know why it took so long. Maybe they're looking at another angle. Maybe they're looking at another foul somewhere or whatever. I don't know what happened because, you know, we only hear what the people on the broadcast are telling us. So I have no reason to have any like conspiracy theory. But I'm like, how does this take 5-6 minutes to determine if it's a handball? It is clearly and obviously not a handball. There was no clear and obvious error.
Well, the reason this is important is because all the stoppage time.
All the stop, but and then
when did they equalize?
They go like 5 minutes checking this, and then the ref is like, "All right, continue play." What?
Yeah.
There's nothing to check. There's nothing to check.
Yeah.
You had to look at this for 5 minutes,
and then you don't even have to go to the screen.
You're not even telling the ref to go look at it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like there's no way this takes longer than even if it takes 60 seconds. I'm like, yo, that's a long time. Do you understand the rules of the game?
Right.
But five is like, all right, now you, I'm putting my tinfoil hat on.
Right.
I don't want to put this,
You're starting the season already saying VAR's
corrupt. I have it
corrupt.
In a lockbox and I don't take it out.
Yeah.
So really, really frustrating. and then stoppage time and then Messi does what he does and it, you know, everybody, NYCFC should have scored a third goal.
But. Yeah. Also, you said it before, but NYCFC didn't look like they were playing up a man at almost for large parts of this match. And it's kind of crazy.
It just shows, frustrating. It just shows how good, Inter Miami are and the quality that they have. And then, like you did mention, Mitya Ilinich
celebrates with a Sioux.
He does the Sioux-y.
And he does it very big, very loud. And after the game, they asked him about it. And he doubled down, bro. he went 10 toes. My guy said, oh, I'm a big Cristiano Ronaldo fan. So to be able to do the Sioux in front of Messi was a dream.
Which is
just- we're like, yo, we got to play this man's again, bro.
it's big talk. And this is what I'll say. Obviously, NYCFC fans, and we just had Mitya on the show.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy, but he's a young dude. You can see. He's got a lot of energy,
it's
bro.
It's one of those things where in public, I'm be like, yo, I got you. I got you. In private, I'm be like, you making it a little hot.
Yeah,
so you gotta like just, it's just a little.
You bring in static to the club.
Because we all gotta play with you.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know.
Like we all supposed to back you up, but if you out here yipping, causing the fights, you getting us lumped up.
So it was cool to see, though.
It's, you know what, though? I gotta be honest.
I like the banter of it.
Like, we talked a lot about when Messi first came to MLS. What was it going to be like? Is it just going to be a bunch of people glazing, you know, people asking for his jersey?
Right.
Seconds in. It seems like maybe early on there was a little bit of that. There was, like, a tentativeness. Like, oh, my God, it's Messi. Now, it's like, bruh. Like, we need to show you, like, yeah, but you on the same level competing
totally,
with us.
And it's nice to see. I mean, I saw, I think it was on MLS wrap up or on 360. Bradley Wright Phillips was like,
he said, "You haven't had enough matches.
You have enough matches or minutes. You haven't done enough to be talking.
You haven't had enough appearances to be doing. I don't think there's no sense. There's no many. It doesn't matter how many appearances you have. You're still kind of
He's like, no.
You can be a veteran and still be like, bro, that's Messi, dog.
It's also, you know, he's a young guy and they grew up with these players and it's like, and for him to be able to play against his favorite players like rival,
yeah."
It's like, I mean, I get it. It's like wrestling to them. It's like, who's this old man
who's
cooking me?
No. My dad liked you, bro.
So I loved it. I loved it for the entertainment aspect of the league and, of again, the not glazing of Messi. And I think that's what adds to what is kind of this New York-Miami little rivalry.
Yeah.
I like the
again, we were at Yankee Stadium when a bunch of kids in Messi jerseys cheered for James Sands equalizer.
Yeah.
It's a very confusing time in American soccer, bro.
Speaking of Messi glazing, did you see the CONCACAF Champions Cup controversy?
No, what happened?
The referee in that game
asked for his jersey
after the Sporting Kansas City match. You can't do that, right? We're talking about refs a little bit today. You can't do that.
I've never seen a jersey swap jersey with the ref, bro.
Take my
Messi holding the yellow and red cards after the game.
Just the FIFA sanction.
He's got both. This is, yo, this wild flex.
It's like, you can't make it that obvious.
Nah,
dog.
Man, chill, bro. Do it in the tunnel. Hey, I'll give you a red card if you don't give me your jersey after the game. Now we're talking. So, use your influence
the
correctly.
The referee did get punished. I don't know exactly what the punishment is, but he is. I don't imagine he was going to be reffing games anytime soon. You can't do that. And it makes me think of, like, do refs have, like, memorabilia? Like, do they do any of this kind of? I'm sure, you know, of course they're fans.
Maybe they get, you know how they write on the card, like, 10th minute, number 48 or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe they get to keep those and be like, oh, this is the time I gave, you know, Steven Gerrard a red
or whatever.
That
should be enough, bro. Yeah. Or just, you know, sneakily take a towel after
you throw. Yeah, 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 exactly. Somebody takes a little bit of Lucozade, you grab that joint. Yeah.
So incredible stuff. The let's move on just to get to another game.
Congratulations to San Diego.
Let's talk
about
San Diego. San Diego FC.
First match. There were a lot of questions with Nicky Varis. Is that his name?
Mikey Varis.
Mikey Varis.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of questions based on his, you know, interim, you know, abilities with the U.S. men's national team were not great. You know?
Sure, sure.
So I think there was a lot of questions. I remember many times on Morning Footy, Charlie said next to me, was like, I can't believe this guy got a job in MLS. Like, what did he show you?
Yeah, yeah.
I think in the first match, not necessarily, I think, a great example of everything that San Diego could bring you, but... And this happened to St. Louis first season. Bro, people just be passing to the strikers now. I don't know what the hell's going on. It's like a first season MLS thing. If you get an expansion team, a center back will pass you the ball or at least make a mistake so that you have access to it.
I thought
and they pounced on it.
Yeah, I thought that at the very least they handled... I think LA Galaxy, for the most part, they look unfamiliar. Like, this is not the team we saw
four months ago. That's the tough part about MLS. And I hope MLS finds a way to fix this where... If you are a good team, you basically get chopped apart. David Lee talked about it, the sporting director for New York City FC. Mm-hmm. He talked about it. He goes, they make it impossible. He was like, when we won in 2021, we doubled down. So specifically, we could keep this team together. And it almost hurt us moving forward.
Right.
Trying to do that, trying to keep the team together. So I see how impossible it is. And look at LA Galaxy. They win a trophy. They win MLS Cup, not a trophy. They win the trophy in MLS. And then they have to start selling players and getting rid of players and can't play players.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating.
Especially
if you're an LA Galaxy.
And it's frustrating even as like a neutral. I'm like, this isn't the LA Galaxy. I know that there's injuries and stuff like that. But this is like, I think... Marky Delgado, who leaves Galaxy and goes to LAFC. It's like, all right, these are very important midfielders that are kind of the identity of the middle of the pitch for you.
Yeah.
And then Gaston Brugman leaves to go to Nashville because they probably didn't want to pay him more and stuff like that. And it's like, but he's earned more money.
Or in some cases can't. It just the cap doesn't allow them
100%.
To.
So, kind of disappointing. I know Galaxy fans would love to have seen something better, but credit to San Diego. There were a lot of cool moments, especially after the game. You know, we sort of get lost in the like retirement league, blah, blah, blah. But then when you see kids literally crying to get a photo with Chucky Lozano, I'm like, all right. It gets me in a place where I'm like, all right, like, yeah, would it be great to have had Chucky in the league when he's 22 years old? Of course.
I mean, at the same time, would they have been the star had they been in MLS?
Sure,
it's
sure.
Like,
but,
you know.
It's easy to see, you know, hey, Southern California, let's get a Mexican superstar.
Especially when you're like on the border, you know, basically, you know.
We understand the strategy there, but. Because it feels too on the nose sometimes of like balancing having a good team with just selling tickets or whatever. But then you see how happy fans are with even Galaxy fans were like, Chucky's
here. Yeah.
So that was kind of just really cool to see. And he didn't end up scoring in the game.
Assisted though.
Anders Dreyer, who he came from Belgium.
I'm not sure wherever he came from. He was flocking that football.
But he scores the two goals. And I think San Diego held their own pretty well.
Yeah.
Forced Galaxy into mistakes, which I think...
We're talking about LA Galaxy kind of being a new team in the sense that a lot of player turnover. San Diego's a completely new team. They didn't play together last year.
The first half of the game was boring as hell. And it was...
As boring as their kits.
There's
it's not good.
There's something to expansion teams where I'm like... foaming at the mouth. I'm like, kill them. You know, they're going to smack them up. Let them know what this league is about.
Sean was really good. Yeah. Like,
okay, well, you're not supposed to just get into the league and just embarrass the championship
team. St. Louis did that. Yeah, remember? Yeah. When they first started, we were like, damn, St. Louis? We had no idea what to expect.
So that part of it was entertaining. I thought they handled themselves well. They got the late goal. But for the most part, this game, I would say, until I see, like, San Diego kind of do this against a team that it isn't as picked apart as LA Galaxy, who felt it seemed like the LA Galaxy felt more unfamiliar with their own teammates than San Diego did.
Yeah.
The expansion team. So that was the big surprise.
A little bit of maybe a little hangover from being champion. You're like, oh, we're good, bro. We just won this thing.
The other game that was a bit of a surprise to me, and in their head coaching debut, Bradley Carnell, head coach of the Philadelphia Union, wins 4-2 at Orlando. So
this is big.
Yeah, the Union.
Philly's sitting at the top of the table right now.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, lock it. Stop the count.
That's a reward. The trophy now. Yeah. Supporter Shield, they got it.
Congratulations, Bradley Carnell.
But I thought the Union looked good. And
my only fear is Bradley Carnell's style of like this insane gegenpressing, all-out style of playing soccer. Your players start to get tired towards the end of the season, and you kind of get found out a little bit.
Sure. But I mean, I think the surprising thing here is they traded Jack McGlynn to Houston. So
and they have a striker coming in. They just brought someone in from Club Nacional in Uruguay.
The Union did.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they have a young striker. I think they just bought him like 2 or 3 days ago.
Okay.
So they have a young striker coming in. I mean, there's going to be more, there's going to be more pieces, which is, exciting if you're a Philly fan, because they really don't be buying and shit,
I was just impressed that they were able to do this, given, and maybe, just it's a new coach, just trying something different. But getting rid of a player like Jack McGlynn, a very young player, like the issue that they were kind of having, it was just like the players looked like tired, and some of them were a little bit older. But Baribo was fantastic. Ura was fantastic. I mean, also the mistakes that Orlando made didn't help, just giving the ball away, and Ura just smashes in a goal from outside the box. So there was just I think this is something that the Union really needed, for given how last season went, getting rid of the coach.
Yeah, I think starting
they think they're playing with a different spirit.
Starting the post Jim Curtin era on a win probably lowers a few tension, a little bit of tension that's probably with the fan base.
100%. The last game we'll chat about from the opening weekend is Atlanta against Montreal. Atlanta is back, baby. Yeah.
Atlanta seems fun again, man. The stadium's packed. What was it, the third most attended soccer game in the world?
In the world, yeah, I am. Something like 60-some-odd thousand.
It's crazy, bro. Yeah, shouts to Atlanta's back.
Emmanuel Latte Lath.
Scored a brace, bro.
Scored a brace. It's going to be just a fun. What a fun name.
Yeah.
You got Latte right in your name.
Bro, I like it. So, hey, he had some latte art. It was stupid. Don't laugh at those guys.
Okay, that was fun. That was a fun one. Nice, uncommon, family-friendly joke.
Yeah, from me.
For
sure.
Mr. Messy Lovemaker over here.
Buddy, get the tarp.
But I think the inclusion now, the introduction of Matheus Klich, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still tons of questions for Atlanta defensively, but bro, Miggy, look, it's like fun to see Miggy back.
Think about what the world was like before Miggy left. It was pre-COVID. You know what I mean?
The
world
seemed
fun, dude. Miggy's back. It's bringing back those memories.
That's right.
Remember MLS Cup?
Biden was the greatest president we've ever had.
Yeah. Was he even president yet? Remember MLS Cup with all the wedding tents and it was raining?
Oh, sure.
It was cool. It was like a good vibe when Miggy was in the league.
Yeah.
And now that he's back, it's kind of bringing back some of those old memories, especially seeing Mercedes-Benz packed out.
And they literally just just reissued their first year's jersey, basically. So that part of it helps.
Niggas like the same one.
I'm looking at it. I'm like, is this a 2018 clip? Yeah. What is this? But no,
Actually just wore the old one. He's like, I still have it.
they didn't even notice.
Yeah.
He looked great, and mm-hmm. Mosquera scores mm-hmm. the game winner. More than anything, it's like, you know, we've been to plenty of games at Mercedes-Benz, and those moments, whether it's the fire, the smoke, whatever, whether it's the train horn,
yeah,
there's really nothing like an absolutely lit Mercedes-Benz stadium.
It's the closest to like an NFL atmosphere.
I would say it's better than an NFL.
No, like it's the closest within U.S. soccer. I don't know any other stadiums that have maybe the lights at Austin, but to me, it's like when a goal gets scored, it feels like a hockey goal got scored or something. Right. You know what I mean?
It's where the entire stadium feels like a supporter section.
Yeah.
That was really great to see. And the goal from Mosquera was absolutely fantastic.
I do want to say, though, Montreal, man, they didn't go away. Laurent Courtois, not really giving much to work with. I mean, if you look at this lineup, you ain't know one of these mans. You know what I mean? Like, bro, you don't remember none of these names.
You know, in our Discord, uh-huh. there was somebody from a Montreal fan talking about just how, like, you know, the Saputo family is not really focused on spending money on this team.
No, they're not.
And that's kind of what it feels like. Prince Owusu left Toronto. I think he went from Toronto to Montreal.
I know Saliba did. Right? No, I think you're right. I think Owusu was like a Bundesliga 2 player, for a while. And then he goes to Toronto, goes from Toronto to Montreal.
And I love he scored. And there's something about his, he does the little crown celebration, kind of LeBron-ish.
Very nice.
But do princes get crowns? I mean, it's not unheard of.
They ask for it, right? You're a prince.
But there's something, his swag is like crazy. Yeah. He does the boom, he puts the crown on after he scored. And it's just like, all right, I want to see more of this. We don't really see more of it. We don't see this from the Canadian teams too much.
Montreal also has such a great fan base, man. I hope the Saputos focus a little more on the team and Courtois gets some support.
I just want to mention this before we go to the interview, but the Vancouver player, the right wing, is it Nelson? Something, Jaden Nelson?
What about him?
We're talking about like swag coming from these Canadian clubs. Mm-hmm. Jaden Nelson, yes. He was fantastic. After the red card, after Portland got the red, Kamal Miller, he was like, I'm just going to run right at everybody.
Yeah, if you ain't got no one near me, I'm going to just take up space.
He had like three or four runs that looked like carbon copies mm-hmm. of, and it was basically defenders. You know, defenders, they know they can't catch up to you, so they try to put their arm on. They just try to, you know,
deter you somehow.
Deter your run. Yeah. A little
speed bump.
My man did this like three times in the game. He was blazing past people and arms trying to grab him, and he's literally like,
slapping him
off. Get off me.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious. Yeah. The guy's like trying to grab him, and he's just like, nah. But like, just, I mean, Heisman.
Slapping him. Yeah. Stiff arming and joint.
That's the thing. It's like, you should be allowed to stiff arm in soccer.
So this is how NFL football came about. What you're doing right there is like, yo, why can't I hit my guy?
Not hit. You can't slap.
You can push. Stiff arm. You could probably stiff arm.
You can't stiff arm. The stiffness of the arm might be the thing.
No, because if you're running, your momentum's carrying you away from where the arm is going.
Maybe. But I mean, he did slap away really well. Yeah. So I'm just like, bro, whatever his left arm strength is the stats are high.
Also, we got to figure out, is Vancouver good still without Sartini, or is Phil Neville really that bad?
I think it's that red card. That red card changed everything, so it's hard to say. So, but all good games. All right, again, apologies if we didn't speak about your team, but you know what to do. Send us messages about teams that we should talk about. Right. There's too many teams.
You have a lot in common with people from the roast.
We're trying our best. all right. Let's get to... So we did speak to Greg Vanney. This is obviously before this weekend. We spoke to him at MLS Media Day and about his time in the documentary Onside and what he's looking forward to this season. So here is our conversation with head coach of LA Galaxy, Greg Vanney.
Champion in the building, huh?
Exactly. MLS Cup champion coach strolling through.
Just walking in, super cash.
Looking sharp, casual.
So his face says, told you so. You know what I mean? I love it. I absolutely love it. Ladies and gentlemen, the coach of the world champion, MLS Cup winning LA Galaxy, Greg Vanney, everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
I love how you added the world champion part.
I know. I mean, in America, you win the champion, there's the world attached to it.
Noah Lyles is going to get quite frustrated with our
champion. talk about this season just a little bit, especially coming from last season where, you know, there was a lot of questions as to some of the tactics and stuff, and you shut everybody up this year.
Yeah. Well, I think in 23, we had a lot of challenges that were going on. We had a number of things off the field. We had a lot of injuries on the field. I think we stayed true to who it is we wanted to be. We stay focused on the pieces that we needed to get to where we ultimately got to in 24. And then in 24, as we got the guys in with Gabriel and Joseph and, Mickey Yamane and the others that we added, it was just the group growing together and me learning a little bit about them and the best ways to be able to utilize each of those guys and put them together as a group to be successful. And then for us to grow together as a team to be able to win big matches. And we were able to get through that process. So, the good players always make the coach look good. So I give them a lot of credit. And it was a fun process and it was exciting to be on the right end of it at the end of a season. And yeah, sometimes it's a little bit of a take that, told you so, right?
Yeah.
I told you so. But yeah, I think it was key is that just across the club, we stuck to the plan and we, even through tough times, we stayed focused and believed in what we were doing.
Yeah. I also just want to send our thoughts about everything going on in Los Angeles with the fires. I hope everything is okay with not only fans and just the community and stuff like that.
Everybody involved.
Stuff, but yeah, it is pretty
devastating
jarring.
Moment for sure.
Very much so.
I do want to ask about this documentary.
Because they got to film you while you're winning.
Yeah. So that's kind of nice to be on to have that happy ending for the documentary. But as we've been speaking to some of the players that are involved in the documentary, but as far as being a coach is, and that level of access, and does it feel like it's sometimes too imposing, or is it distracting and stuff like that from a coach's perspective?
Well, I'll give a lot of credit to those in running the documentary and the people filming and doing the interviews. I thought they were fantastic and super professional in the way they conducted themselves around. I know, speaking as a coach, we're always more than players. We're thinking about every detail that's going on around our environment, near the training field. What does a camera do to a player's mentality when they're on the training field? Right. Things like that, microphone in the face. What is that going to do? So for us, I think it's probably more stressful for the player or for the coaches sometimes than the players, because we're always trying to control some of those dynamics. But they made it easy for us, they being the crew, because they were really great about how they conducted themselves around and made it easier to say yes to requests that maybe sometimes we'd be a little bit more uncomfortable with.
Gotcha. Yeah, because you guys hate any access, anyone peeking in. Coaches hate that, right? Like when the cameras were around the first time, we were like, guys, we're going to do a 4-4-2. Don't one remember that. It's just for the cameras in case this leaks.
You guys don't want anything,
right? Nowhere near the Canadian national team, so there's no drones, right? Like you don't want anyone to get any access, and all of a sudden you have these cameras around. Well, did it take you a second?
Yeah, as a guy who's been around the league since 96 when it started, I have an understanding of our responsibility as an original to help grow the league and to try to give access that maybe can make the league more popular or grow or bring more fans to it. So I do have that side of me that kind of appreciates that piece of it. But then the other side is like, hey, too much access is maybe not a good thing. So we try to always strike a balance between our responsibility to grow the sport, to grow the league, to bring access to our fans so that they have a better understanding of what a locker room looks like or what a process to prepare for a game or win a championship look like. So we we try to find that balance. It doesn't mean it's not stressful or it doesn't come with, you know, some anxiety for me sometimes, but hopefully when it comes out that people will appreciate it. Hopefully our team, you know, people will see what that process looked like for us and maybe feel a little more connected to our group, having seen all of that.
Even especially the storyline, even though it ended a little sadly with Ricky Pooj, it's going to be an interesting part to watch in that documentary. But that MLS Cup final, or even just the semifinal, just him playing through that injury, it's interesting because when Ricky first got here, obviously the expectations were really high. And on our show, which we joke around a lot, and we were sort of teasing of like his first few matches, he wasn't really getting the stats that we sort of all expected. We were waiting for the Ricky Pooj call out tweet. You know what I mean?
Because he keeps receipts.
But for him to not only just perform in that semifinal, and then you saw the support from the rest of the team in that final. How did you feel as a coach witnessing? I think your team just kind of come together and rally around that.
Yeah, I'll start back in the semifinal. As the game ended and now we win the game and we're in the final, and obviously the last 20 to 30 minutes he's playing on a torn ACL, I didn't realize it. Like, I didn't realize that he had that moment because he didn't stay down and he wasn't treated. Right. And there wasn't that moment where sometimes as a coach when we're focusing on more big picture, I didn't catch that moment for him. And so when I went back and watched it on video and saw the things that he was able to pull off post injury and then lead to the assist that leads to the goal that gets us to the final, it was really quite amazing just athletically what he was able to do. Then when go back to when the game ended and I went to him because he was very emotional, I didn't know what I was walking into. And then he kind of expressed to me in a way privately in that moment that I feel like I think I did my knee. And that was, I know and feel the emotion that he was going through. I was shocked as well to kind of hear that. And I think what fans will see and what people will see is the connection that even though they're professional athletes, these are real people, you know?
Yeah.
And we put them in a certain category or stage because they step on and they perform and they're supposed to win for us as fans. But these are, again, real people with real emotions, and he was going through it. And you're going to probably live some of that with him in that moment and see some of that. But then going into the final to continue, like our team was close. It was a group of guys who really liked each other and they cared for each other. And everybody likes Ricky as a human and as a person. That's one thing where they wanted to be successful for him. But they also knew that we were there because of his contributions to our team. Right. He was a huge part of us being where we were. And so, you know, the commitment and the desire for the group to have that little emotional boost to go in the final to try to win it for him and for the process that they've been to was big. We tried to use that at the start of the game as a motivation to come out and really try to punch first and get on top of the game. And it worked for us, you know, and we got out in front 2-0. And I think it helped us to get into that game in a different way than maybe we would have otherwise.
Wow. I think what I'm looking most forward to in the documentary, because I feel because we get to interview players so much, we kind of get an idea of like how players are and what makes them motivated. And they're all very different. But I think we get a sense of what it's like to be a player. For you, not much is known about you outside of, you know, on pitch. What I know about you is from your time in Toronto, you got a gang of those puffers that you wear under your blazers. You got like 80 of these things, man.
A couple scarves.
Yeah, you got a different color for every week. I'm like, this guy's got a gang of puffers, man. Yeah. I don't know where these come from.
You know how cold it is up there, by the way.
Yeah, it's very cold. You still did a blazer on the pitch side, so you're pretty great.
There was a heater right here that was blowing on me. Most of you didn't know about
it. Okay. I also know the pitch is warm, so I'm like, I think every once in a while we saw Jovinko lay down in the final. We're like, he's getting a little bit of warmth there. But this is now a peek into you, and you seem like a bit of a reserved guy. Was it comfortable for you to maybe have cameras that you are sharing your personality with now, and that people are going to get to see, like, you know, what's Greg Vanney like off the pitch, you know, or what's he like in the locker room?
Not always. Mm-hmm. It'll be worse when I watch it back. If I do choose to watch it back, it'll be even more cringy if I watch it and have to see myself in those situations. So. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a family guy, and I love the sport, and I'm obsessed by the game and trying to be successful and working with our guys to to try to achieve and help guys to achieve in the game. And those are the things that are important to me and the friends that I have around. But I don't need to be anything other than that. And so for me, it's not super comfortable. But I go back to what I said at the beginning. I understand the importance of it for the growth of our league and that people want to see these things, and it will help us to build our sport and all those kinds of things. But outside of it, not the most comfortable thing for me, but I think it's what people want to see.
All right. I feel like you're going to be America's darling, dude.
we'll I think see. That's going to net out, dude.
We'll see.
See. I'm sure. I imagine it's a little bit less imposing to chat with two stand-up comedians about soccer.
No, it's all good. I appreciate it.
Greg Vanney, best of luck in 2025.
Thank you.
And we're excited, obviously,
guys.
To see you in the documentary. But thank you so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so Cheers. Much. Dude.
Hey, thank you so much to Greg Vanney. What a wonderful interview we've done.
Yes, I've always nice to pat ourselves on the back.
You know, shouts to us.
Because people don't pat us on the back anymore.
Yeah, it does. Right?
So
fair enough.
We got to do it ourselves.
If you don't toot your own horn, you might not hear music.
So shout out to Greg Vanney. Yeah, that was cool. He definitely a little bit more... reserved.
Mm.
There's always a when people don't really know who we are. There's always like, hey, what's all this? And Vanney walked in with like, what are you about?
Oh, you're asking me this so you could do what? You know, it felt a lot
skepticism.
I think I know where you're going with this. We're like, we have no plan.
it's funny because while we were at Media Day, like speaking to the different coaches and you see the different personalities and you wonder what the locker rooms are like and how do they kind of sort of convey inspiration and belief. Like we understand, like Wilfred Nancy, we get how he does his thing.
Totally.
I don't know. Did you see any? You didn't watch Onside yet or anything?
No, I have not.
But there was a there's a great moment where Pat Noonan, who we also spoke to at Media Day, where he was like, you know, some of these other coaches, they just be using like big words to sound smart. And it's like, bro, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. We all know who you're talking about.
We know who you're talking about. Your in-state rival, maybe. And then they go to like B-roll of him training and coaching like on the pitch, and he's not trying to use inspirational language.
No, not at all.
He'd be like, be in your goddamn spot.
Yeah. I think he was one of those coaches where I thought was way more serious until I met him, and I'm like, oh. You actually can relate a little bit. Some coaches are like, I need to be seen as a coach at all times. And exactly. Not that I'd say that he doesn't, but he's like, oh, okay, you guys do comedy. Do you know this guy? And I'm like, oh, you're letting us peek behind the curtain a little bit.
Yeah. So that's why big difference from the
massive
Vanney type, where he's a little bit more like, hey.
Yeah, Greg Vanney talks to you like we're all in a library. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm not
going
to race.
And maybe that's what you need to like maybe. Get you going and focused or whatever.
You know, it's like sometimes like, you know how like you sort of after you graduate or leave a school, you appreciate your most difficult teacher.
Yeah.
Greg Vanney has that vibe to him.
Gotcha.
You'll like me when you're gone.
It's like a time release capsule.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, he was brilliant. I didn't realize at the time. So shout out to Greg Vanney. Shout out to everybody at MLS and Apple for helping us set that up. All right. Let's move on to some Premier League over the weekend.
It's over, folks.
It's over. Arsenal are done forever. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Well, everyone on our front line is is injured. And
hey, you would think that you would have like a sporting director and coach.
Well, if only there was a window in the middle of the season during that time in which it happened where it allowed you to go ahead and bring in some, additional folks.
Should we start with Liverpool City?
Sure,
And get that. It was City-Liverpool, right?
This reminds me of last season hoping Tottenham would beat City. You know, and now I'm hoping City beats Liverpool, and every time, I am completely let down.
I saw a tweet that Preston North End has scored more goals against Liverpool than Manchester City, which is just...
That's heartbreaking.
Which is hilarious. But
Manchester City, I mean, continue to look like they're just not with it this season. You know, even those moments where you have a feeling like, oh, maybe they're starting to kind of... gain a little traction against a big competition, they're going to show their strength, especially at home. Liverpool went in there and just absolutely wiped the floor with them.
Dusty.
Yo, for real.
Dusty. And we don't throw the dusty term around that loosely, that casually.
Gavardiol, bro.
Gavardiol, but Kevin De Bruyne. And now this is actually, I'm going to, I wish we had like sad Sarah McLachlan music playing right now, because I am genuine. Did you see that shot that De Bruyne took? That
bro, Rosie was like boing off the forehead. I mean,
Rosie is totally fine if it's behind the goal.
No, no, yeah, no. My guy
that's
was like
a corner flag. Yeah. That's a shot, bro. Yo,
it was his capitulation or his downfall, you know, the going away of his talent has been absolutely insane. But also it feels like there's some players there, and I think Kyle Walker was one of them, even though he's on loan now and he's not there, that are kind of like, all right, I'm done with this project. Like, I did what I had to do.
Yeah, yeah.
I want something else. And Kevin De Bruyne and his ability to shoot towards the goal have both have said like, yo, peace, but we out.
It's one of those things where maybe it's just like, you know, your legs are gone, you're aging or whatever. But it's like the magic tricks that he was able to like pull off, they just don't work anymore.
No, they're not working.
Maybe it's like he doesn't have the pace to threaten as much as he did. Maybe he doesn't have the fear that he can instill of just like, hey, he might make this pinpoint pass 40 yards, but if I press him too close, he's gonna get by me. And it's like, oh, now he can't get by me. So let me just put a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah.
And he can't really do what he normally does. And it's so sad to see. It's so disappointing. You know, all the conversations about like, you know, he had offers to go to MLS, to San Diego. And it's like
Saudi.
And now I'm watching. I'm like, bro, I don't want him here.
Yeah, you
like,
might not.
I don't want him.
You might not make it in San Diego, bro.
Don't bring that over here. Yeah. I'm obviously being facetious. I'm just joking around. But this is... It's a bummer. Kevin De Bruyne is one of my favorite players to watch.
At one point last season or the season before that, maybe even last season, we were thinking this could be one of the best players in the league. And now to see him
he's had nagging injuries that have kept him out. And
also I just think there's so much more to do for midfielders now without Rodri behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
That you just see like, all right, he can't do all of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? He needs that support.
And Liverpool, just fantastic.
They just continue to look good. It's really frustrating. I mean,
there's just like you try to find like, oh, but you know, they're good at this, but like this is it's like everybody, the bench, no matter what player they bring in, is like in form.
Let me ask you a question, because I was thinking about this as I'm really frustratingly watching this game, especially in the second half, where they continue to look good, even though I don't think they scored in the second half, but they continue to look good. Do you think there's a couple Liverpool fans out there going like, you know, this dude's like a lot better than Klopp, you know? Like, I know Klopp probably going to get a statue, but they're like, don't make it so big, because we might have to put another one up of Arne Slot. I mean, the guy brought nobody in besides Chiesa. He's doing this with the same players.
Chiesa's not even playing.
That's what I'm saying. He's doing this with all the same players that Klopp had, and they're all looking better. Yeah. All of them.
Yeah, it's difficult to say like what the exact difference is between.
Well, he's not gegenpressing. It's a bit more pragmatic. It's a little bit less everybody run at the ball, and a little more. There's a little bit more directness. There's a little bit more calmness. Mm-hmm. You know, at times it's very smart about like, all right, here's how we play in this minute. Here's how we play in this minute. If we have the lead, let's calm it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But let's find those openings. Let's let our best players do well. Simple thing of like just Gravenberch, how incredible he's looked.
Gravenberch is to me the next like Paul Pogba, right? Like similar type of build.
I can see that,
but he makes fantastic decisions in very short windows with defenders pressing against him, and he can get out of trouble. So fantastically.
I want to give him the same credit, but at the same time, the decisions he makes is, do I pass it to Mohamed Salah? Do I pass it to Lucho? These are fun decisions.
It's not even the passes. I you know, you remember the clip from a couple weeks ago. He did the Elastico outside the box or whatever. He is again, it's just the decision making, and again, I think the players themselves are just playing almost better than they ever have, even under Klopp. So Virgil van Dijk is...
He looks like he's 5 years younger.
It's unbelievable.
It's a fair frustration.
And again, he's a player that we always highlight and say like, oh, how many slide tackles does Virgil van Dijk make? And he makes maybe one a game.
If that. I mean,
he doesn't need to, because he's always exactly where he needs to be.
His defensive data looks like he's a bad player because he's... he never has to go out of his way because he just stands in the right position at all times.
And the pairing Van Dijk and Konate is they just they're like almost unstoppable. It's almost unless it's Everton, right? Like they can't really.
I said before the season started, Susanna Collins or Susanna Fuller was massive Liverpool fan. She was a little worried about what it would be like without Klopp, and I said, bro, Arne Slot is going to be an advancement on what Klopp did. Like he's going to move the needle forward. I don't know how great the team's going to be because there's so many questions, age and whatnot. But I think they'll play well, and then you'll see in the January time, you know, that December January time, that winter break, that England just doesn't take a break. They just play through it. That's tough for a lot of coaches to figure out depth and understanding how many matches are coming at you and player injuries and whatnot. He withstood all of that so far. I mean, can he capitulate towards the end of the season? Can we see Liverpool slip? I don't see it coming, no, but it's possible. I don't see it coming, though. I think if Arne Slot wins, especially, look, they're top of the league. They're top of the table or work. What, second place in Champions League on the way into these knockout rounds. They're top of the league in the English Premier League with, you know, seemingly no real worry behind them. It looks like everyone's playing from second through fifth. He's been able to withstand injuries. As far as I'm concerned, I would imagine there's some Liverpool fans that are quietly saying to themselves, like, yo, he might be better than Klopp.
Yeah.
Year one.
Yeah.
Again, no purchases.
I had seen a post on Blue Sky that said, like, you know, Arne Slot doing this is, like, basically embarrassing to Jurgen Klopp for him doing so well right after he leaves, that Klopp should have done what Arsene Wenger did and install a clown to take over the club.
Yeah, dog, you should have been like, nah, man, we need Brendan Rodgers back when I leave.
This is so funny.
So Alex Ferguson did the same thing with Moyes, remember?
It was his pick. Yeah, yeah. Liverpool look absolutely fantastic. And again, Mohamed Salah is just
timeless, man.
I mean, if he doesn't win Ballon d'Or, it is a crime.
You heard what Jamie Carragher said?
I didn't.
It's tough for him to win Ballon d'Or because he doesn't play in any major international competitions.
Oh, sure, sure.
And Micah and Daniel Sturridge were like, well, what about AFCON? You know, AFCON is a major tournament. And Jamie Carragher was like, no, right. He's getting a little heat for that. But I think, I don't understand. When you play this well and you sort of mean this much to the sport, the way you play internationally, like, you know, it shouldn't be held against, you know, Erling Haaland that Norway can't qualify for stuff in the future.
Yeah.
There will be opportunities for him to win Ballon d'Or, and there may be times where he deserves it, and the international form may or may not come into play. I don't think it should be graded against you unless you play really badly with your international team, I should say.
Right.
Where I think, like, Vinny in the past has just not played well with Brazil. And sometimes you're like, all right, I can count that against you. But if the team itself isn't built to withstand qualifying, that's not your fault.
Sure, sure. That's fair. But it's just, I mean, World Cups are very entertaining. And a lot of people care about them.
Yeah, so, it is.
Yeah.
I just want to say the league's over. Congratulations, Liverpool, Arsenal. I hope you figure it out. My theory.
Damn, bro, already.
This is my theory. And I've said this before. I'll say it again. I think Arsenal will take a very pragmatic approach to transfer windows. And I think part of me believes, especially with Adu being out, that they looked at it and said, you know what? I don't think the strikers that are available that we can afford, you know, even with PSR rules, that we can bring in will actually win us the league. So we're going to hold back and see if we have enough with the academy kids and Mikel Merino and anyone else. And we're not going to purchase anyone in the winter. And that will allow us more flexibility in the summer. Now that's me pushing the ball forward. Yeah. So now y'all got to do something in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, the game Arsenal-West Ham was
frustrating as hell.
Frustrating. The red card to Miles Lewis-Skelly. I mean, it's – I mean, you know, you can't get it. It's just – it's a – was I surprised at the red? Maybe a little bit. I think it could have gone either way, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a stupid foul. Like the first red card a few weeks ago, I'm like, come on, that's soft. Yeah, that didn't deserve it. It was a bad one. Now this one, I'm like, all right.
Yeah, but it's also
it's your fault to get in that situation.
It's also he lost the ball, right?
Yeah,
that was the issue. But it's understandable, Brett. But the fact that even against a West Ham, I'm like, even down a man, I'm like, they're gonna score.
Yeah.
They're gonna score one.
Yeah.
And they just couldn't. And even before the red card, I was a little bit surprised at the lack of to me, this is, especially with the injuries, this seems to be, in my opinion, Arsenal's biggest problem. They have lost any real sort of transition threat. They can't. Most of the game, if teams are just gonna kind of bunker down, they're just passing around outside the
yeah,
park.
I mean, so you it's a
just trying
like
to
a,
break this puzzle
a horseshoe over and over and over again,
and they've lost any real like counterattack or just moments where they can really threaten. And they don't look. Trossard is a great player, but
he doesn't have the pace for a counter. Michael Merino doesn't have the pace for a counter.
Nwaneri.
You know, Raheem Sterling, if he was playing up to Raheem Sterling's level, would be that guy, but he's clearly not it anymore.
And that's kind of the big issue. It's just like almost like athletically, they're sort of missing any real teeth.
And again, I think this goes back to, for me, Martinelli's been the main issue, right? His ability to break that back line to be that speed threat down on that left has opened up everything for Odegaard. It's opened up everything for Saka. You know, now they're doubling Saka. Well, on the other side, if you had a guy who was real fast, you wouldn't be able to double Saka. You'd have to keep a little bit closer. Yeah. So those types of things, like Martinelli's inability to be that threat on the left and constant threat on the left has caused sort of the same way Rodri being out for City has caused everyone to sort of be able to sort of get closer to their other players. I think the same thing happened for Arsenal. And now you're seeing they're listless. They're not able to get to the other half of the pitch quickly.
Yeah.
And that, and then other teams can set up this five at the back, four in front of them.
Too many injuries. Yeah. It just caught up. And this feels like the game that it caught up to them. Now the lead is 11 points.
It's done. And also this, unless there's a complete collapse from Liverpool, which I don't see happening. For me, I think the spotlight is now on Mikel Arteta, right? You've gotten your 5 years. You had a five-year plan. I think you've done a wonderful job of getting rid of front office staff that didn't care about the club, getting rid of players that were dead weight. You've put the club in a position to be healthy for the long term, right? You've put the club in a position to be much more successful moving forward. Are you the guy to win that trophy? Are you the guy to push them over that line? For two seasons, you weren't. And now for a third season, you finish in potentially second place, if sort of it plays out the way we expect it to. I think there's going to be a lot of questions as to whether you're that guy to carry it forward. Maybe someone else needs to come in, and maybe you were the right guy to sort of put the team back in this position, or the club back in the position where they're healthy and successful moving forward. But on the pitch, are you the guy to win them that trophy? Seemingly, maybe you're not. Maybe. And that's fine.
It's a bummer to get so close and just always be outdone by either City or Liverpool.
But if the club is smart, they're starting to think of, all right, just in case Mikel's not that guy, who's our backup plan?
I say the backup plan is get Alexander Isak to your club, offer him whatever you can.
I mean, that's going to cost $130 million or pounds.
All right. Hey, the Cranky's got it.
It ain't my money. You know what I mean? I ain't worried.
All right. Last game we'll talk about real quick is Everton against Manchester United. Everton took a 2-0 lead.
So Manchester United are in what position right now? 15th
place to Everton's 14th.
Look at that.
Hey.
Everything's on the up. David Moyes, bro, beating his old team.
Everton, a goal from Beto, a goal from Doucouré, to go up 2-0 at halftime. But then, obviously, Manchester United come back and tie this game in the second half. And frustrating. Look, as an Everton fan, when we were up 2-0, I'm like, let's go.
Yeah.
Get this dusty-ass Manchester United. Relegate them.
Yeah.
They don't belong in the league with us.
Nah, yo, they ain't built like Everton is built.
Okay. And we were just looking at the photo of the celebration. A little bit of showing maybe a little bit of support for Marcus Rashford here.
Little Marcus Rashford. You shouldn't have done my mans like this.
So that was dope to see.
But this also was halftime. This was halftime.
So this is they don't award you 3 points for getting the lead.
You
sure
you they were like, we got 1.5 points in our bag.
So a bummer, and look, a dumb foul leads to a set piece, and then Bruno Fernandes, off the free kick scores. I also thought it was a little bit of poor goalkeeping from Jordan Pickford, just like a maybe even setting up the wall, the vision, and like. It would have been a tough ball to get over and under because it was relatively close.
Right.
But he's like rooted to the spot.
Yeah.
And it goes right by him to the far post. And it's like he cheats. He starts going.
Right. That's the thing, is like he cheats. So you're like, bruh.
And it's like, all right. I mean,
is that because his arms aren't so long? He feels like he has to.
Are we doing the T-Rex? Are you the T-Rex? Are you thinking about it?
Yeah,
you
know what
I mean? And it was a frustrating thing to see. I'm like, look, I'm not a goalkeeper. I don't, I'm not an expert, but I do know, like, it's hard. It's you protect the easier shot.
Right.
It's harder to go over the wall and back down. So why is he?
Yeah.
It just looked bad. It was just a dumb goal to give up. It was a dumb foul to give up. And then Ugarte scores the next goal. And then this felt like a 2 points dropped for Everton, and which says a lot about where Manchester United are, because in the first the reverse fixture in the first game, United won 4-0 under Sean Dyche when he was the manager. And now under Moyes, they just like, it's hard to exactly explain, but there is a
Everton's now going into a new stadium. I know they're already playing some matches.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw some guy stole food. Did you see that video?
I did see that.
He asked the guy he's like, "Oh, you guys forgot my cup of coffee. You went to go get it. And you took off with the food." Yeah, so
yeah. I saw another guy sneak in.
Oh yeah,
the guy did a vlog of he snuck into
was during a match.
He snuck into Goodison Park during the Liverpool game.
Oh really?
He went in like towards the end of the game because the equalizer happened.
Yeah.
And so people ran back in, and he was like, "All right, just what we
before it closes, right? Go get your thrills." But you want David Moyes to be the manager when the new stadium, when Everton, the senior team, finally plays their first match in August?
Yeah, he's earned that. And I believe the contract he has is, I think, for like 2 or 3 years. But more than anything, there's obviously it's the same players, but what's happening is they're playing with a level of confidence. It's not even just confidence. They're tactically being, you can tell the players are being told something different than what they were told.
Yeah, they're not scared to go forward.
They're not scared to go forward.
Yeah.
They're taking more chances. They're taking more risks. They're trusting each other much more often, when you can just clearly see Sean Dyche was like, "Lock it down. Don't give up goals."
Yeah, your defensive responsibilities were paramount. And then everything else comes second.
Exactly. And Moyes is not that.
Yeah.
And so that's just great to see, because I think it's unlocked a lot.
By the way, Moyes is so defensive and so pragmatic that West Ham fans were like, "This is boring. We want him out." That's how boring and pragmatic Sean Dyche is, that you're like, "What a revelation." This 68-year-old man.
This man is revolutionizing the sport.
Well, it's our own Pep.
look at these ideas.
Yeah, Pep Moisiola, bro.
So I think it just says a lot about where both the teams are currently. But Manchester United, for them to scrape by to get a draw.
Yeah.
And there was also controversy. Did you see the Ashley Young?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Penalty. It was awarded as a penalty.
And then they got called back.
VAR
after
said no. I don't think this is a penalty. This is, and I'm not even gonna get like tight about this, because it's frustrating. But the fact that Everton were up 2-0.
Some fans were saying that United bought the league, and that the league wants United not to get relegated.
Maybe, I don't know about that.
It's crazy. I mean, but that just goes to show the conspiracies around this call.
The call in itself, and I had seen all the flex.
Mm-hmm.
Flex United, go.
Follow him if you don't.
United View.
United View.
He did his little post game. Mm-hmm. Don't show me slow mo. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. It was soft. Ashley Young. That's a former Manchester United player. Let's be a little kinder.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
think? Did Ashley Young dive? Yes, I think he did dive.
Not only that, did he make a full meal out of it?
He did make a meal out of it.
Yeah.
Was he fouled? Yes, he was fouled.
Right.
De Ligt is pulling on his shirt. He gets, I think, one or two pulls. Maguire, also handsy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called a penalty. Did the dive completely annul the fact that his shirt was pulled? No, it did not. Mm. I mean, he's chasing after the ball. Is he going to get it? I do not know. There's a good likelihood he's not going to get it. So why pull his shirt? You pulled the shirt. It's called a penalty. Was there a clear and obvious error? He did make a meal of it. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
But was there a clear and obvious error that he was 100% not fouled and that was not a penalty?
Didn't look like it.
Didn't look like it at all. So no. I can't understand. And this is the re-refereeing of, and this is why especially Premier League fans are like, yeah, VAR, we don't love VAR, but definitely the game should not be re-refereed.
Right.
There, I cannot be an assistant referee, look at that playback and say there was no foul.
You right, without a shadow of a doubt.
Not,
yeah,
you
yeah,
should
yeah.
not have called that penalty.
Yeah.
You see the pull of the shirt. Did it have the pull of the shirt did not cause the fall that Ashley Young had.
But the other side is, if it doesn't get called, does it go to VAR and get called a penalty?
Sure. I don't know. No, I don't know.
I don't think it does. So the fact that it got overturned, I think, is what is annoying people.
It is, yeah. That is not... And when most of the time, the refs don't even go to the screen in the Premier League. They're like, VAR...
Yeah.
They know.
You know what? Bring the screen to me. I got to be honest. I don't want to walk over there. I blame England. They're the ones who started. Remember, everybody else was going to the screens.
Yeah. I wonder if Howard Webb is going to weigh in on this one. Because this seemed like a...
More like Howard Webb of lies, bro.
My man got good.
No, you don't know how to recover from that one. Come on our show, dude.
Yeah, so that's kind of my main thought. I'm like, why? VAR shouldn't have gotten involved in that. I didn't think there was a clear and obvious error. Even though I can agree, Ashley Young, I mean, yeah, he made the SAG Awards yesterday. I mean, yeah. he should have been awarded.
Damn.
Awarded something. So we'll just leave it at that. Let me know what you think. Was it a penalty or was it not? So I imagine Manchester United fans are going to not agree with me. All right.
I just thought of a joke that's really stupid. You said SAG Awards. I said, yo, you know who won? Your mom's boobs, dude. Not you.
Okay, thanks for coming. Thanks for clarifying. I'm like,
your mom's a lovely human being.
What did Lucia have to do with this? She didn't do anything wrong.
I just wanted to say that. And I was like, whatever. The audience saw me smile, so I wanted to at least tell them why I was smiling to myself.
Thank you. All right. I mean, look, that's why you're on this show.
You know what? Let's not bring this to a screeching halt for a terrible award.
All right.
No joke.
Let's wrap it up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. A reminder, go join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans, our roast show, our MLS and NWSL roast that we did at Independent, the ISC Minnesota, Independent Supporters
Council. And some USL jokes as well.
We had a great time there. So go check it out now, patreon.com/soccercooligans. Also, want to make sure we give a shout out to
Tony Miola.
Tony Miola.
Yes.
Our dear friend, who was just on the show a couple weeks ago as well.
Right.
Had a heart attack last week.
He did, but he is okay. Let's start with that. He is okay. He's recovered. They had emergency surgery. He is doing better. He messaged me. And the one important note that he said was he wants everyone to get a wellness check, that he had ran 4 miles a few days prior to having a heart attack. He was in good condition. He went to the doctor. His doctor told him he was 30 pounds overweight. He needed to lose weight. He got the weight down. He was eating well. He was doing everything he was supposed to. This man has worked out his entire life. So get a wellness check. I know you've done them in the past. I continue to get them as well. Being a big guy, that's, you know, when I go to the doctor, they're like, well, you're going to be here a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's a checklist like a mechanic for a 30-year-old car when I go to the doctor.
Yeah, the main thing, I mean, I've, especially with heart attacks, which I've, you know, lost my father. My brother had a heart attack, and luckily he's fine and recovered fine. But even if you are in good shape and appear healthy, your heart may not be.
Yeah.
I always tell people, and I've been doing it, especially since my brother had a heart attack a couple years ago, an echocardiogram, a calcium score test, and a stress test. These are the three things. They will check your heart. They will check your arteries. And that is the important thing, is that you can seem fine. You might be active. You might be able to do stuff. But cholesterol clogs your arteries. And with all of our diets, it doesn't matter if you eat really well or whatever.
It could also be hereditary. Yeah, I mean, you're in shape. Your brother is like wildly in shape.
Yeah, I am.
Both members of your family that I know, I've only met your father very briefly, but you and your brother, both thin, both in shape. Your brother, professional athlete.
Yeah.
And we're talking about had a heart attack at the young age of 41. Luckily, he's okay. Luckily, Tony Miola is okay. But why go through that scary situation if you're in shape, or if you've had like a weird feeling in your chest before? Just even if you're in good shape, just go get a wellness check.
Yeah.
Every doctor in the world knows what an EKG is. Like you said, echocardiogram. What's the other thing you said?
Calcium score.
Calcium score.
To check the hardness of your arteries.
Every doctor can do that.
Yeah. So do those things. Even if you do it once every 5 years, or even once every 10 years, it'll could be the difference between saving your life and not. So, I've tried to be way more on top of that and be like serious about it. And it's not; these are not invasive things.
No,
they're very simple. They just
EKG is like little stickers.
Take
and you lay down, and it's nothing. It monitors your heart as you lay there. It really does nothing. Hey, you may lose a hair or two as they rip the sticker up, but tell them be easy.
Oh my goodness. Don't scare people away. Alexis.
I do that sometimes. I go, yo, be easy, because one of them is like really close to the nipple. You know what I mean? I'm like, hey, be careful. My nipple's got a mustache. You know what I mean?
So we're glad that Tony Melo's okay.
And yeah, real scary there.
A scary thing to hear about and see, but
not exactly the Tommy scoop that I wanted. Yeah, exactly. Tom Bogart posted about it.
I was like, Tony Melo's getting transferred where?
To the emergency room.
I don't want to see that.
ERFC, bro. But luckily, he's okay. And I'm really happy that he's okay.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Thank you.
Get a wellness check.
Exactly. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. Subscribe on YouTube and leave a comment. Subscribe. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Feel free to do that. And we'll see you on Thursday with a brand new episode. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.